हरि ॐ
सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 31. Sukadeva Goswami continued, with Krishna grasping him by the throat, Trinavarta choked, unable to make even a sound or even move his hands and legs, his eyes popping out. The demon lost his life and fell, along with the little boy, down to the ground of Braja. Footnote 11. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 26 to 28 to Bhagavad Arkramrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Devotion, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So, point is it's pleasing Krishna, how he's taking care of this, how he's dealing with this. That's then what makes it work. Does that make sense? So that's the Prayojana aspect.
Right. Can we say that because it's pleasing to Krishna, that's why it works? On those
dimensions? Yeah, yes. It means for Krishna it always works, as it's always pleasing to him. But whatever we may do may not. But we always have to remember that it's... Because we may think Prayojana is what I'm doing. But no, Prayojana is what pleases Krishna. So if we're doing things that please Krishna, then that's Prayojana. Is that make sense? That makes sense or not?
Yes.
Yeah. So in other words, we can be part of it. Otherwise, the tendency is we will think, I'm the one doing this. I'm the one making it happen. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. So we always have to be careful that we understand Prayojana means pleasing Krishna. So that love for Krishna, that pleases Krishna.
Right. If we do it with the intent to please Krishna, then
yes.
It might not be successful, or it might be mixed again with Krishna. Still, would it be Prayojana?
It's still in pursuance of. But you have to check, is it the attitude, or is it, you know, where is the aspect of weakness? Prayojana means that it's for Krishna, so ultimately the result is for Krishna. But the result is for Krishna means the result is for Krishna to please Krishna. Right? So the mixed me, is it to please Krishna? Like, let's say I'm cooking lunch, so I'm going to offer it to Krishna. Right? So making the offering, that's the result that you want from that. That's the Prayojana aspect. But is there an aspect beyond that? Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, from our consideration. Yeah, we work in Krishna, or is it about Krishna? That's the difference between the Sarva Dharma Parityaja and between pure devotional service and mixed. Pure means it's just about Krishna. Right? It's not about what we'll gain. It's not about our considerations of the certain aspects of piety or liberation. Right? It's not about the connection about us first and then Krishna. So it's point is because it's connected to Krishna. Krishna's pleased. We'll be pleased. So. Whether there's an acceptance of that pleasurable aspect or not, it depends upon its pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let us say, there's two kind of methods of or two, you can say, at least in the West, the traditions of you go to somebody's house or you give them a gift, right? So one of them is you give the gift, you know, and it's accepted, you know, graciously and all that like that, but it's not open, right? Because it's, you know, it's just, you know, otherwise it seems to be about yourself when it's about, no, that they've given you the gift and that reciprocation. So then you open it later. And then the other is that it's expected you'll open it there because they want to see you opening it and being happy opening it. So that's the case where you're accepting your own happiness because of its higher principle of pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of this. So the idea is that it has to be, it's about Krishna as the end, not about us. It's about us, then it has that, it's not pure devotion. Pure devotion means it's about Krishna. Does that make sense? So there's no material. And then for ourselves as Gaudiyas, then we'll make a distinction in pure between pure and pure unalloyed. It means pure is transcendental. There is no material mix, but is there our consideration within it, even though it's transcendental, it's connected to Krishna. So the pure unalloyed means it's not, it's just about Krishna. Yes. Yes, they're always functioning on the platform of pure unalloyed devotion. That which makes them unique. That's why everything's being done on that platform. Vaikuntha, it has the aspect of the other four points of liberation. You know, the Sarupya, Salokya, Sharshti, Samipya, like this. That you have, you know, you may be pleased by this because it's connected to Krishna, right? But in Braj, it's only because it's useful in pleasing Krishna. You can do that service to please Krishna because you happen to be there. So you're in the same place, or you're an associate, or you have a similar form or a matching form. Like the Cowherd Boys have a similar form. You know what I'm saying? But it's not exactly like in Vaikuntha, but it matches. Right? Krishna's of the particular age. He, you know, that enthusiasm, that playfulness, they're also of that same nature. Does that make sense? So it takes on, it's more that flavor. While in Vaikuntha, it's more obvious. You know, the form is basically exactly the same except for Srivats. Right? So then Braj, it's more about just pleasing Krishna. So if you're there and all that, so like Sri Dharma or something, they'll make, you know, boast and say all these different things and all that because it's pleasing to Krishna. So that's the thing. It's just about Krishna. Then, you know, all those things. And then you work back from there. Then, okay, to please Krishna in this activity, then you require this particular understanding, this skill, this attitude, you know, this endeavor. So they all are already included. There's the idea, no, but unless I do all that, then I won't have it. No, pure bhakti already includes it. It's a major, how do you say, principle that needs to be understood. Because the tendency is, okay, bhakti is just, okay, we have that mood, but all the action and everything, I have to get into that, otherwise that doesn't happen. Then how do we have a result for Krishna? But the point is if you're pleasing Krishna means that some result is being offered. Right? How do you, that you have the mood, but that mood has to be applied. Right? So in application, no, but it's just a mood, there's no application, that's Shantaras. So just they're having that mood is their devotion. But the other rasas means it's applied. Right? And so then Rupa Goswami in this way is mentioning the four as actually these are rasa. The other's rasa, but these are because it's dynamic. The other one is just the existence kind of principle. So So it doesn't. It's not dependent upon doing something or Krishna means or any in kind of interaction. There's interaction. It's also pleasing. But if it's not just based on what the Shastra says, what has been appreciated, that that's all that's required. Does that make sense? So there. But then that sense of possession gets to a point where it becomes tasty. Right at the friendship. Before that, it's still there's some. There may be that aspect of formality, and Brad just less, but still, it won't have that unimpeded aspect of the relationship, because the servitor aspect then has some kind of formality. But the whole point is then the. These higher three then don't have that aspect. You know what I'm saying? It means, of course, there's going to be some restriction to keep it within the rasa. Mother Yashoda is not going to go out bungee diving with Krishna or something like that. It's uncool, right? Yeah. So it's going to match what's going on. Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to get to, these. So then these have that. So those three, then you can say, these are the core parental rasa. The core Brajit rasa. All the pastimes are always with these three. The other two may be included and mentioned. Just like in the pastime where Krishna and Balaram are appreciating the forest of Vrindavan. Like that. So they're appreciating the devotees in the Shantaras. But it's they themselves, as brothers, are appreciating that. Does that make sense? So that's the. So in other words, servitorship, it is servitorship. In the other three, there's always going to be service, but it's not what's prominent. Right? It means it is service, but you're using the medium of friendship, parental rasa, or conjugal rasa as the medium. And you're doing service in that. But servitorship means you can see it's a service. Does that make sense? It has that junior aspect. Is that?
I like mixed.
Means we study them all individually so we can understand them, but an application, it's always together. Just like, let's say, I'm showing you how to prepare some preparation. So I'm going to show you how to deal with the vegetables, with the spicings, all the different things, what pans, this thing, what arrangements, what you do where, all that kind of stuff. It's all going to be dealt with separately. But when you cook, it's all going on at once. You're making the chaunts, you're still cutting some things, you're washing your hands, you're doing so many things at once. So that's, and when it's finished, it's a combination of all that. So that's what gives the prep. It's a combination of all. If you didn't prepare it, let's say cut the vegetables nicely, the final preparation's not going to look that great. It's just not going to happen. And so I'm just thinking of that. See if we still have it. You would be able to appreciate it more. Oh, okay. I'm not sure how you pronounce it properly, but something like un pom ekres or ekresi. Ekresi or E-C-R-A-S-E-E. Maybe it's not spelled right. Though. But it means, it basically means where you've taken a 2.5 kilo hammer and smashed a potato. So a flattened potato. So how would you say that? Ekreme. Huh? Ekreme. Ekreme. Oh, ekre. With a C or a K?
C.
C. Ekre. Me. Me. The me would have that line?
Yeah.
Me. Okay. Yes. Un pomme écrémé. Because in French it sounds so good, right? If you just say you smash, but it doesn't nothing. But in French, you know. Yes, and then you put it in the pan, fry it nicely, you know, the edges are golden. Yeah, like that. You know, some rosemary. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, for being so personal.
For being so personal. Yes, yes. Yeah, so that's the... Yeah, because when I got this, you weren't here, so I had to get it from someone who's Canadian French. So that's, you know, what to do. Yeah, it wasn't quite there. Yeah, probably better than if someone was from... what's that island next to...
Reunion.
Yeah, Reunion, yeah. Then that would be even more, a little more rough, you know. Okay. So how did... We were on something. Oh, yes. Yeah, so the whole point is that it's always together. That's always going to be happening. So... But when you analyze it, you see it separately. Like in Gita, then Bodhi Yoga is discussed in all the separate chapters in the beginning. Right? The third, fourth, fifth, sixth, like this. But when you apply that, it's all together at one time. So you're having knowledge, you're remembering Krishna, you're performing an activity like that. There's no there's detachment, you know, that's not for yourself. So these are all to just see that you're doing it right. You know, it's just like if you're not so practiced and all that, you know, then you have to always go through things. You sit down in the car, look at everything, okay, the mirrors, you know, got the seatbelt, you know, this and that, check all the different things. You know, but otherwise you just sit down and do it. I remember seeing one, but I was amazed. There were two, you know, somebody was driving and it was a long drive, so then they switched. When the second person got in, he simultaneously sat down, put on his seat belt, adjusted his seat, and the car was moving. All in one moment. It wasn't that there was a flow. It happened all at once. Because when he pushed the gas, the car started to move. That's when he hit the seat, and the seat slid back. So he didn't have to move it back. Just by moving the car going forward, the seat moved back. You know, and how he did that and put on the seat belt at once. It was just like all it was is open the door while the door was closing, he was sitting, the car was moving, all that happened. Yeah. You know, it might have had a touch of emotive passion to it, but but the point is it's all happening at once. So when you become very, very practice at something, it all goes together. So we analyze it and pull it apart so we can see the different points. But in application, they'll all be together. That's why it becomes confusing. Because we'll say, oh, but no, but it's for Krishna. But the point is the attitude that it's for Krishna, that's in Sambandha. That's Prajumna. But the actual offering to Krishna and his being pleased with it, that's Prayojana. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. When we're performing the endeavor, we're doing it with knowledge, with the attitude, with the idea to please Krishna. That's why Vasudeva includes all the qualities of the other three. You know, so the focus we have is on the pastime itself. Because everything's in there. That's why it's something... No, but they're performing the activity. But in performing the activity, you have to have knowledge, you have to have the proper identity, the proper attitude, and the proper aspect of it's being done for Krishna. Same time, you have to know, have the knowledge, apply the skill, govern that according to how the result you want is unfolding. you know, until you get that result, and all that time be detached that the result's not for yourself, but it's coming out efficiently because it's for Krishna. Does that make sense? So all that's going on at once, so that's why sometimes it appears confusing, because we're saying, no, but it's all these things are there. Yes, but you have to know what parts of what. You know, it's like a perfume. It has a fragrance, but if you analyze, it has all so many ingredients inside. Right? It's the high notes, the middle notes, the bass notes, all these things are there, but it creates one fragrance. But in analyzing, you can see, oh, okay, there's some... There's, you know, that, what is it, funny orange, bergamot. Yeah, that, it has, you know, some musk, it has some sandal, it has all these things. So you can tell all these different aspects, but it comes as one thing, just like a preparation. You taste it, it's one taste, but you can tell, yes, there's potato, there's cauliflower, there's this, there's that, if you analyze. So we're going back and forth between seeing its application and the analyzation. So in 10th canto, it's going to be more the it all being combined. Well, in the other cantos, then in the presentation, it's given a combined, but then it breaks it apart so we can catch it. But as it goes, it's starting to show that it's more that combination, but that combination just that it pleases Krishna. That has to be. So then the thing is, well, you know, we're thinking, well, how is this Prayojana? Because, you know, okay, Trinavarta, you know, what did he do? Or what is somebody doing? But it's confusing because we forget. No, Prayojana means Krishna's pleased. So therefore, whatever Krishna does is Prayojana. And then if we take it like that, right? See, this is a different perspective. If we take it, whatever Krishna does is Prayojana, then we can take it that we can take part in that as instruments. But if we think, no, it's what I do, and then offer that to Krishna, and Krishna being pleased, that's Prayojana, then it's about us. But here, it's about Krishna, and we can be an instrument. Right? So, now, how to please Krishna, since we don't really know Krishna? I mean, we learn some facts and figures and all that. But the point is, it's just like the gopis are saying, oh, Krishna in his threefold bending form. To them, that's Prayojana. To us, it's a fact. You know what I'm saying? So it's Sambandha. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that it appears one way, oh, because we're talking about, but it depends on the mood. Right? The same thing is, we're talking about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, and it's Sambandha. But we're thinking, I'm, you know, this is the high stuff, right? But the point is it's different. Because right? The combination, because we're doing, but it's about the facts and about how you should be doing this. I want to be situated in advanced devotional service, and so therefore I'm hearing about Braj pastimes of that of Krishna with the gopis. And if you hear this, then this is, you know, Raga Nuga Bhakti. But what I've described here is pure sadhana bhakti, pure vaidhi. It's not rag at all. Yes.
Can we say that because of that, Bhishma, even though he was a kshatriya, was glorifying the gopis because of the aspect of prayojana, because he didn't take it as sambandha?
Yes, he's taking about their glory and all that. Yes, you could say like that. So we can see as Bhagavatam, when it opens, it shows the whole. Then, you know, having arranged all that, then it goes in and starts the whole discussion with Sukadev Goswami, and then, you know, hearing about the universal form and all this, and then going up through the cantos. Mm-hmm. But you can see as all the nice things are all presented in that beginning so that you understand all the different aspects that are there. Then it goes into the natural presentation so that it brings you through. Then from that second canto up through the ninth canto, then you're prepared to actually deal with the tenth canto. But all that's being presented in the first, that this is what is going to be happening. You know, so does that make sense? Okay. While the gopis who had gathered were crying for Krishna, the demon fell from the sky onto a big slab of stone. his limbs dislocated, as if he had been pierced by the arrow of Lord Shiva, like Tripurasura. Right, so it's not just enough, you know, he strangled him and all that. But, and you know, so things weren't going very well for him. But then they fell down on a big stone, right? But for Krishna, it's not a problem because he's landing on the demons, right? Yes.
His limbs are dislocated, the old selfish Krishna.
Yes, yes, sounds like that. Srila Prabhupada comments, in transcendental life, as soon as devotees of the Lord merge in lamentation, they immediately experience the Lord's transcendental activities and merge in transcendental bliss. Right? Because the lamentation we're looking at, for here we lament, we're actually dealing in the past. Right? Even our dealing in the present, we're dealing with something illusion. And then you're dealing with the illusion of the illusion means it's not even there. Dealing with the past is gone. It's not there. And then we're lamenting about it. It's not there. What's to lament about? But here, because they're dealing with Krishna, and Krishna's pastimes are eternal, therefore remembering a pastime, remembering Krishna, remembering anything, that lamentation, they're actually dealing in the present. It has that flavor like it's about past. But it's not. It's in the present. That's why it says there's only present in the spiritual world. There's a flavor like there's past and there's future. But there isn't. It's actually all present. Well, in the material world, basically all you have is past and future. Rare that anyone deals in the present. Right? So is that... Yeah. Actually, such devotees are always in transcendental bliss, and such apparent calamities provide a further impetus for that bliss. So all these things are just, as it said, an impetus for that bliss. Krishna tasting that bliss, the devotees then taking part in that, increasing Krishna's bliss, that's actually what's going on. That's the point. So when we see that, then we can see is then we are simply be an instrument in this. These devotees are tasting this bliss. So they're already being involved in the activities that create that bliss for Krishna. Right? So now we can be assistants in that bliss, that activity to perform the activity for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So, because the activity is going on, Krishna's pleasure is there at that time. Right? The activity that we have, the attitude of serving Krishna, that we, as servant of Krishna, and the attitude of serving, that pleases Krishna. Right? That we're performing an activity, that pleases Krishna. That a result is gain, and it pleases Krishna. So the whole thing is all about Krishna's bliss. So we take part in that process. So we can see that's why the central point is devotional service. Right? Not devotional bhava or something. Right? The Sahajiyas were pointed out that that's the point. It's our ecstasy that's the goal. No, it's Krishna's happiness. Right? So, therefore, how do you make that dynamic? Something's done. Right? But to do something, you have to have knowledge and identity and attitude, and there has to be a particular result you want to gain from it. But all that is going on at once. So from all that, that's why then at every moment, then Krishna is tasting the, you know, that love of the devotees, and the devotees are expressing that love. So all these things are an impetus. They're simply a medium to express that loving affection they have for Krishna. Right? And that Krishna is appreciating that because that's why he's involved in activities. Because he doesn't have to do anything. He already is everything. So if he did nothing and there's no manifestation, still it's complete because he is everything. Does that make sense? So the principle of everything's already there. And so that includes all the experience and everything that's there. So Krishna's Atmarama, he's self-satisfied. But if you make that dynamic, there's more flavor. Right? So the Shantaras, they're tasting prema, but if you move it forward into dynamic, then there's more. And so even those devotees appreciate those who are doing that more. That increases. So one would say, but then they'll always be stuck in the same place. No, because they're appreciating the pastimes of the Lord with these other devotees. Right? And that then gives them pleasure. Because what are they thinking about? Right? Narad Muni, what is he thinking about? What is he talking about? Right? Krishna and the activities with the devotees. Right? So that's there. I mean, he can appreciate he's the greatest in this, but he always sees it in connection with the Lord and his pastimes with the devotees. The four Kumaras, they may present just how he is, you know, everything, how he's pervaded in that philosophical side. That's why sometimes they're called jnanis. They're devotees, they're pure devotees, but it'll be on this side of, you know, the Brahman Paramatma aspects of Krishna's greatness. While then Narad Muni will be emphasizing the Bhagavan, the pastime aspect. So that's why of all the Shanta Bhaktas, he's considered the senior, you know, the top devotee. Okay. Does that make sense? And because of his appreciating all the pastimes of the Lord from Braj on down, that's why he can therefore be seen in any pastime. While other members of Vaikuntha, you'll only see them in their aspect of Vaikuntha. You will not see them outside of that. In fact, if they're outside of that, it gets a little strange. I was told once, Padmalochana was mentioning, I'm not sure where he said it was from, but he said that there was some arrangement, somehow or another, that the different realms, because in Goloka that's all happening at once, you know, in all different aspects, but somehow or another, they all came together at once. And so you had, you know, the Dwarka scene going on, you had the Braj scene, and then I forget what was the third scene, but it all somehow or another came together at one time. I think it ended up Krishna was hiding under a bed. Because otherwise, you know, how do you deal with, you know, everybody, you know, it's like this. And then Yogamaya then, you know, adjusted everything. But it was, there was something of some fun for Krishna there. But so they stay in their realm. But we see Narad Muni can move through any of them. He's in the material world. He's perfectly happy. He's in Brahma Loka. He's in Shiva Loka. He's in Vaikuntha. He's in Dwarka. It doesn't matter because he appreciates all the pastimes. That's what makes him, of these devotees, the greatest. Does that make sense? So that's why, you know, Srivas Adi Govind Bhaktivinoda. Because all others can be accommodated in his position. Okay. So, you have something? Or?
So, would it be right in saying that to appreciate the fullness of Krishna's pastime, you can only appreciate him through the Rampara, that means immediately?
Yes, yes. Yes, only through the devotees then you can understand. Because we don't directly have a relationship with Krishna. We have a relationship through his devotees. We can do direct service, but the relationship is not direct. So that means is if the relationship's not direct, our relationship with Krishna through those devotees, that means how they perceive, what they value, how they perform activities, that's what we're taking part in. So not only are we assisting in Krishna's pleasure, but the ones who are actually giving pleasure to Krishna are the devotees that are the heads of the lines. And then we, in our position, serving the servant of the servant of the servant like this, then we are then taking part. So it's not even we're doing the activity, we're assisting, someone else is doing the activity. We're assisting those who are doing. So therefore, in the simplest form, we say servant of the servant of the servant. Right? It's like that. Or servant of the servant. It means the servant is serving, we're serving them. But actually, as Lord Chaitanya meant, the servant of the servant a thousand times removed, because how far back it goes, that you can't say. Yes, and but the point is we're taking part. But, you know, we'll maintain that kind of mood that I'm doing this as long as we have that identity that I'm the doer. But as soon as we give that up, then we start to see as, no, I'm just taking part in the process. Yeah.
So then secondary to that, then we should always be careful to appreciate Krishna according to Srila Prabhupada's
words. Yes, That's the I think third point of sadhana bhakti out of the 64 is the fifth. Approaching the previous acharyas through your own acharya. So that means there's no such thing as a difference of opinion between Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. Sometimes it's brought up that, oh, but Jiva Goswami, the Prabhupada says that, Vishnu says this and that. That means don't go there. You should not be reading that. Because if you can't see how Prabhupada gave it to you, and now here's a detail of that, right? Then there's a problem. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So you can't. There's no such thing as not going through your acharya. You know, so that's why the founder acharya is not just Prabhupada's a guru. Okay, because he's a pure devotee, so therefore then, you know, he's respected. But if there's another self-effulgent acharya, then hey, you know, we're good. So it's not that Prabhupada's unique. It doesn't matter how many self-effulgent acharyas there are. Prabhupada still stands out as the founder acharya. That's not brought out generally by, you know, very often. You know, even those who are claim that I'm taking initiation from Prabhupada, even though Prabhupada, you know, disappeared, you know, from our vision in 77, they, for them, it's just, it has to be, you know, someone who's on that level. If somebody else is on that level, we're good. Technically, according to their philosophy. I mean, I've heard their acharyas say this. You know. Because their whole point is the guy's not, you know, a nitya siddha, so then why is he a guru? Only Prabhupada can be a guru. But if there's another person who's nitya siddha, we're good. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada's position as founder doesn't really mean much to them. So that's why they don't interpret things how Prabhupada did. They make up their own interpretation. So they don't even, so you're supposed to appreciate the instructions of the previous acharya through your acharya, but they don't even appreciate Prabhupada's instructions. So they don't even get anywhere. Does that make sense? So it's a very important thing how the parampara works. So we are serving our acharyas that through the acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami, and then it's going up, you know, then it's getting its service to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So it has these flavors. It's always going through. So it's the means. Yeah, and so devotees don't mind doing things through the devotees. So even Radharani, she's the topmost. But if she goes to Mother Jashoda's house, what's being cooked? Right? According to the direction of Mother Jashoda. So then she's cooking under that authority. You know, she doesn't say, well, you know, hey, I'm Radharani, you know, eat it. You know, she doesn't do that. So that's how it works. It's that this thing of serving, and Krishna, he's the end of the line, but he serves the devotees. So this aspect of serving devotees, going through pleasing devotees, this is a major principle. That's not caught. One will remain in so many ways on the neophyte platform. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then one has to appreciate devotees. Right? So one appreciates devotees, and then within devotees, then some are more. Is that right? Yeah.
In case of
Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti.
The beginning stage, you know, for a devotee should be always Dasya Ras and not Shantaras.
Should always be?
Dasya
Ras, not Shantaras.
Yeah, because Shanta, there is no application. So it's only appreciation and no practical seva to be done for the devotees in Krishna. But in Dasya, it begins, you know, at least with some service.
Some service. But why are we doing that service?
Yes, Krishna.
Yes, but how... Why would we be inspired to do service? Because of appreciation. So all rasa starts with appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
So dasya means you've taken appreciation and it's deepened to the point where you want to render some service. right? That deepens, then it becomes friendship, that deepens, parental, that deepens, then conjugal. You understand? So there's always that taking care. Like, let's say the gopis are worried about when Krishna goes out into the fields and his feet are so delicate, right? That even if when they touch the breast of the goddess of fortune, then it'll get kind of a, you know, how you say? You know, it's just you touch with a newborn leaf, you'll get some effect. You know, like us, if you push, you'll get some, you have to really push, and then you get some color change. Krishna, a newborn, you know, a new leaf, just touch him with that and you'll get a change. It's so delicate, so refined. And so they're worried that he's walking barefoot out in, you know, in all the different pointy grass and other things like that. No? So, but that care for on that level, it means it's from the conjugal rasa, but that's the parental aspect of conjugal rasa. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is they always include the previous. So there's no question of going beyond unless you appreciate, why would you serve? So when you contemplate in this, you're appreciating. So very much Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti will have that aspect, that you're going to hear something, you're going to analyze it, you're going to then appreciate and apply it. Does that make sense? So that's what makes the difference. Raganuga Sadhana means you don't have to analyze it to appreciate it. It's just automatically that appreciation is there. Then you can say, okay, it's functioning in just dasya, because it already includes the other one. But we'll naturally go through the stages.
Mm-hmm. That's why it is important for us to study what is sambandha, abhidhaya, and pravijaya, so that we are able to analyze well and then apply. Whereas in the case of pure devotees over here, it's directly the application. It's a combined package, like this sambandha, abhidhaya, and pravijaya happening all together for presentation.
Yes, means the devotees are always, means the pure devotees, it's all happening together. Means you can analyze what's happening here and there, but it's all going on at the same time. We analyze it so that we can see that we're doing all those things. They do it automatically because of the pure devotion. We may get all of them there because we analyzed it and made sure they were all there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You have to speak loudly.
We have these professional athletes who, and they focus on their training at the beginning, and then after a time, they forget about the basics because they think that it's just the end result, which is, you know, they've got the skill. And so what happens is, because they forget about the basics, they lose their actual ability, so then they have to be deconstructed and then go back down to the basics. So, in that way, it's also important for us to always remember the basic foundation of the sadhana to actually then appreciate these levels of understanding.
Yes, 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 yes. That's somebody? Yeah.
And how do we
a little louder, you have competition. And they're good.
How do we our deals with the devotees or persons who have deviations in the philosophy or self-expression?
How do we deal with those who have deviations in the philosophy?
In
Prabhupada's teachings. Why would you be dealing with them?
Because I think in South America, because they come to the temple and they start...
I mean, the point is you deal with them pleasant, nice, and proper, things like that. The rule is at the temple, then they do things the way it's going on there. They don't need to discuss or preach their philosophy. So they're fine to come to the temple, fine to do different services, but you talk all this other stuff, then it's not fine. You know, because Prabhupada gave a particular thing, and that's the way it's going to be. You know, and if they want to practice in a different way, that's what congregation means. You can do whatever you like. You know, what is it? The king of one's castle or something like that. You know, it's one devotee, someone was making the point, they were at his house doing a program, and making the point that, or maybe they were just at the house, maybe for a lunch or something, and was making a point that, you know, a certain thing that he was doing wasn't the way the founder Acharya said. And the guy, the person became very angry and said, in my house, I'm the founder of Charlie. So yeah, he can do that in his house. But if he wants to go back to Godhead, that's another thing. So they can do whatever they want in their own house with their own friends, and when they come to the temple, they have to follow the etiquette. And if they can't, they're not welcome. Just like anybody. You come to the temple, you behave properly. They can't behave. Would you like it if some, you know, guy off the street came in and start professing his philosophy and how, shape-changing reptilian, you know, aliens and this and that's going on and on. You're trying to give a class and they're no cook. Like that, they're not welcome. You know, take the shot and go. So it's not that, you know, they're being singled out. No, anybody who just doesn't do like that. And they'll say, no, but this is, and it says, but that's not the generally accepted. Because the GBC has not made that the official view. Right? And so therefore, then it's not to be done. And if they don't like it, they're not welcome. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out, though only a small, delicate child, Krishna clearly manifested the power to kill a great demon. But this did not decrease the affection of Nanda and others. Rather, it increased it. This idea is expressed in three verses. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the gopis immediately picked up Krishna from the chest of the demon and delivered him, free from all inauspiciousness, to Mother Jashoda, because the child, although taken into the sky by the demon, was unhurt and now free from all danger and misfortune. The gopis and cowherd men headed by Nandamars were extremely happy. It is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, he was returned without having been killed or even injured. Because this demon was envious, cruel, and sinful, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. This is the law of nature. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna conscious life means innocent devotional life. And a sadhu is one who is fully devoted to Krishna, as confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 9:30. Bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhur eva samantavyaha. Anyone fully attached to Krishna is a sadhu. Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and other cowherd men could not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, playing as a human child, and his life was not in danger under any circumstances. Rather, because of their intense parental love for Krishna, they thought that Krishna was an innocent child and had been saved by the Supreme Lord. And so you just see that devotion, that they're just interested in pleasing Krishna. So they just see him in this way. He's performing human pastimes. So they see him in that light. So it's just about the affection. Because otherwise the other aspects of his greatness and that would actually get in the way of that affection. In the material world, because of intense lust and desire for enjoyment, one becomes implicated in sinful life more and more. Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Samud Bhavaha. Therefore, the quality of fear is one of the aspects of material life. Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maitunam Cha. Right? Because fear means you want to enjoy, you know, but the possibility of loss of that potential to enjoy, loss of the enjoyment, or loss of what is, you know, what you, yeah, well, it's being the same because the mode goes back. So, in other words, the loss of enjoyment or potential of enjoyment. So therefore, situations, persons, everything like that. Because if it's about your enjoyment, then basically everyone else is situational. Right? It may be more of a relationship or less of a relationship or more personal or less. But it has that aspect. That's why there's no real taste in
the material world. Yeah. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, the process of devotional service, Shravanam Kirtanam, Srimad Bhagavatam 7523, diminishes one's polluted life of material existence, and one is purified and protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So the main protection is the consciousness, because it's by impure consciousness that we've gotten ourselves in this situation. So the impure consciousness gives us bad association, then that just makes things worse. So Krishna protecting us means protecting the consciousness, protecting us from impure consciousness. In devotional life, one has faith in this process. Such faith is one of the six kinds of surrender. So as I pointed out, is faith means there's surrender. So the six symptoms of surrender, that's what you see in faith. Right? Because then we see another place that Prabhupada mentions that prema is mature faith. So what does that mean? The six symptoms of surrender are complete in their fullest aspect. So that's why that faith is the most mature in prema. So as those symptoms of surrender develop, that means our faith is developing, and that will take us through the stages up to prema. So it's a development of the faith. It's not a mechanical point. As the faith develops, these other things happen. Just like if you have faith, then you take up the association of devotees. You don't have faith, you give it up. Does that make sense? It's not that, you know, oh yes, I'm intelligent by my decision. This, no, it's a lack of faith. That's where it goes down. You have more faith, you follow the practices that are practiced by the devotees. Faith goes down, you give up those practices. You mean if faith is more, then you give up the attachments that you have. Because, okay, I have faith in Krishna, devotional service, I have faith in devotees, I have faith in the process they follow. And I do that, and that's all the more I'm interested in. Right? And then that's your typical, you know, kind of say, kind of, neophyte congregational aspect, you know, otherwise known as Hindus, right? Is they like the practice, but they don't want to give up the attachments, right? They want their money, they want their children, they want everybody to be successful, all this they want, right? But by having more faith, that by having that faith in Krishna, that these things actually won't give us happiness, but only serving Krishna will, then we're willing to give up those anartas. And as those anartas get given up, then our service becomes stable. Does that make sense? Right? And so if the faith goes down, what happens? To that degree it goes down, to that degree you drop out of that process. Does that make sense? But whatever advancement you've gained from the performance of devotional service, that won't be lost. Even if you drop from let's say, nishta, you know, down to just shraddha. But that service that's been there, that placed you at that point, that remains. Though at the present, your consciousness and that, faithless, you're functioning now just back at shraddha. Yeah, and for some, then it even goes below it, goes below that. You know, occasionally they'll remind it and that, so they go back to more like a jhata sukriti. But they'll never be there, but I'm just saying, it's just so less that it's very rare that they remember. So the point is, but now if they come in contact with the devotees and get that faith again, you'll see as soon as that faith is they're feeling strong, they'll be functioning at that Madhyama platform again. And then that's a very important point to understand, is that these two can function differently. Your faith, depending upon that, that's where you're situated. But the faith gets less, it can go down, but the devotional service won't be lost. So therefore this idea, okay, they were a senior devotee back in the 80s and this and that, they've been gone for 20 years, now they come back, they have to start over like the new bhaktas. No, they don't. In fact, there's a good chance when they get faith that they're in a better position than you, both in strength and Krishna consciousness, preaching ability, and their skills in doing whatever you're doing. Does that make sense? So, and because of that, many are afraid, because they know if they bring these people, they always talk about, yeah, bring everybody together, let's do this and that. But have they? No. Because if they do, in a moment, then they'll be back to their position and be able to, you know, run things very nicely. Right? And who would want that, right?
Yeah.
Definitely don't want that, you know. Then you know, the fun of just having meetings that do nothing is over. We have to do something. You know? You know what I'm saying? So that we make all the, oh, they're in that fallen position, they're this, they're that, and we figure, okay, they've fallen down, so we can say whatever we want, deal with whatever we want, and all that. No, that devotional service that they've done is still there. That's why then you can't go by just that position. You have to go by what's actually their position. Because that's why Krishna says they're still sadhus. So you have to deal with them properly. We think, no, it's now my right, I can deal however I like, because we like being uncultured, so we can deal on it. So, therefore. But it doesn't work like that. Right? I think I told a long time ago that story about the... in China, there was the martial arts master who was teaching the king, or the emperor, whatever it was, like that. Maybe it was in Japan, like that. So, no, I think it was in China. So he was sitting somewhere, maybe in the, I think at the cemetery or something, just kind of, you know, sitting there leaning up against something and not being very, what do you call it, formal at all, right? Things weren't going so well. And so this young kind of, you know, expert, you know, developing, we used to go there to practice because it's out of the way, no one goes there, it's quiet, you can do what you like, especially if you're practicing your secret moves and all that kind of stuff. So then when he came there and he saw this person, and he recognized who he was. Now he's known as the greatest martial artist, and you know he's there in the king's court and all that. He's out here, and he asked him, why is he out here? He says, oh, the you know king got upset with me and you know threw me out. So then he thinks, oh, then he's no good, and so then he wants to prove his prowess. So then he thinks, okay, I'll let me fight with him. You know, then if I can defeat him, that will establish me as something very great. So then he goes to take his position. You know how they always make their stance first? He just goes to do the stance, and then the martial arts master just turns his head and looks at him. And the look itself just throws him off, and he can't function. Right? And then he has to again compose himself, and then he, you know, makes his stance again, you know, like that. And then he looks at him and then gives out, you know, that, how you say, kung fu kind of shout. And then the guy's completely devastated. He can't even function. And then so he goes away. And then the next day, the king, you know, changes his mind, you know, because how kings are. They get really angry at something stupid. And then calls him back, and then he's back in the court. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is we may say, oh, they did this. And so in my book, anyone who does that, they're finished. They're out of it. They're completely finished, this and that. But the point is, it's not really. Whatever service they've done. So that has to be judged. Whatever service has been done. Now, if the person joined this bogus philosophy, then maybe not a whole lot's been done. So then, you know, you deal appropriately. But if they've done so much, and then from that, then they get distracted, then you have still, the etiquette has to be followed. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that following the etiquette, they can do whatever they want. No, there's rules. There's authority. You have a temple. It has its authority. That's how it goes down. They don't like it. Go somewhere else. You know, how you say? Most modern cities are plenty big enough. Right. You know, how you say? Maybe, what do you call it? They can check out, you know, how you say? Pablo's dead, so they can check out that area of town. You know, no one's over there. They can do something there. You know. Is that okay? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How can we bring back the faith of those devotees who have left?
Because how can we bring back the faith of those devotees who have left?
Because the devotees have dealt badly with them. So they say that all devotees are in the same category and outside is
all devotees better. Are in the same category. And all the karmis are in a variety. So does that would mean lack of intelligence, because intelligence means you can discriminate between varieties. So you're going to tell me all the karmis are the same. Now, Hitler was not a devotee like that. So he's just the same as your neighbor, you know, like that. Or Ivan the Terrible, or who was the guy in Cambodia? Pol Pot, you know, they're all the same guy. Stalin, hey, you know, they're all the same. So can he make, are there no distinctions to be made? So then, if you don't make distinction, that means lack of intelligence, right? So that's just there. So point is, but why is intelligence lacking? Because of not putting the faith in devotional service. Krishna gives intelligence. So see, the whole point is they've had trouble with devotees. So many people have had trouble with devotees, right? Does that make sense? They're not the only one that's had trouble with devotees. So therefore, that they've decided from that trouble with devotees that therefore all devotees are not worth dealing with, that's just a lack of piety. Not saying that them being dealt with badly is good on any level, but that they would react in that way, that's a lack of piety. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this from the teaching point of view. Mm-hmm. This is not how you deal with them, unless you have that relationship. You know what I'm saying? We have to make that clear. So we're making it clear in your mind. So implying it in your position, because things don't happen to you, right? So yes, so then how you deal with it. So you deal with it and just see it as Krishna's, you know, arrangement and become purified and all this, you advance. But if you think, no, I should be dealt with in a particular way because I am who I am, and stuff like that, and then the problem with saying I am who I am means it's according to false ego, and we know that, you know, this line was said before by someone a bit more famous. Right? Yes. And so therefore then the difficulty comes down is that they think too much of themselves. So therefore now all devotees are bad. That's why. But if that's not scientific, because if you want to use the non-Vedic modern scientific position which they're using, then you would actually have to test every devotee and then confirm that they all are the same. Right? And since you're not going to do that, at maximum you can do is say it's a theorem. That this is your theorem that all devotees are the same, but you can't say they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? And so then the way to deal with that is you just behave properly. You follow Vaishnava etiquette and deal then like that. And if their attitude is not nice and all that, just leave them for a few years, because Maya knows how to soften people up. Mm-hmm. Right? So if it's just an acute thing, then it may go away in, you know, a few weeks, few months, or a few years. If it's more a more deeper thing, then, you know, the general average of those who it's seriously is 10 years. After 10 years, they're kind of be a little bit more open to like that. And if it's really serious, then 20 years. And then after that, then you can deal nicely and they'll appreciate it. Because otherwise you deal nicely now, it means you're supposed to, but they'll interpret it, oh, you're just doing that. That's not actually, you're not being real, you're not being, you know, so they just take on this too much cynical, modern kind of so-called intellectual waste of time. Right? So you just leave it, and basically don't associate with them so much. Whenever you bump into them, you deal nicely. You know, if you work with them in the workplace, or the social environment or like that, you deal properly at those points, but you don't deal outside of that. In other words, you don't invite them over for dinner, you know, unless they're family and you have to. Right? You know, it's Jamai Shasti, you know, you invite them over, you go there. It's Diwali, okay, but if it's not those, you don't have to. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so this faith, That's it. When the faith is there, so you see, is how they can't even appreciate sadhu sangha. So they have some faith in Krishna, so they'll still identify as a devotee, but they're actually functioning on the platform of Shraddha. That's it. Right? Does that make sense? So it won't be strong. So the sadhana, other things won't be as strong as if they have faith in devotees. Because if it's like they, certain devotees, they don't like managers, or they don't like this one or that one, or you know, whatever it is like that, or this individual, that individual, but they have faith in devotees, you know, but then, you know, it'll be stronger. But if all devotees, they don't have faith, then their practice and everything, their purification is going to be weak. Because if you don't have faith in devotees, how do you serve Krishna? Because serving Krishna is only through devotees. So at least if they maintain faith in Prabhupada and the Acharyas, then, you know, some progress can be made. And then with time, as they get purified, then they'll start to include the other devotees. But if they give up that faith in Prabhupada and the Acharyas, then, you know, you just have to wait for some time before, you know, all these things die down and they can, again, take up devotional service. And that can take, if it goes to that point, that can take lifetimes. So, better to not get into that position. So it's based on that surrender. But it doesn't mean that if they had made, like you said, if they had made nice advancement before all these things went wrong, okay? So in other words, things go wrong, there's something to learn. There's some false ego. Or, there's nothing wrong, like Prahlad Maharaj, and it's just, he sets example. Or Yudhishthir Maharaj, there's nothing wrong. It's not that Yudhishthir Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj need to be purified. Right? It's that they're setting the example of what we should do. And setting the example, then the example has to be way more extreme than anything we'll ever be able to be involved in, you know, let alone, you know, it means that we can even imagine, let alone be involved in. Does that make sense? So that's why it's there, because otherwise then we'll say, oh, well, you know, it says so if it's just a little trouble in the family, but I have so much trouble, right? Because whatever we're doing, then we focus on that quality that's there and absorb ourselves, so we touch on the Brahman aspect, and therefore it has that eternal, all-pervading, and therefore, you know, the person, you know, took my, my cupcake or something, and that's the end of the world, you know, like that. But in perspective, when you kind of come back, no, it's not like that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, then, no one can say that they actually had control of the whole world, an unlimited wealth that other controllers of the whole world have never even seen, and lost all that. And then going from that position, they're out in the forest, and then, you know, all the, no one can say that. So when it comes to, and then to top it all off, then when the family, the altercations come to a head, it's a, you know, 640 million man battle that, you know, except for seven people, everyone dies. Right? So can we say that? We don't even probably, at best, know more than 150 people in a family. You know, most people are maybe 50, 60. Like that. No? So therefore, it's never the same. That's why they're so extreme, so that we can't go, no, but my situation is different, because it always is like that. Bhagavatam says this, no, but my situation is different.
It's right? Perception, the matter of perception.
Yes.
Your 150 the same as his 64 million.
Yes, definitely the same quality and all that.
Quality.
Your uncle is just like Duryodhana. Right? Yeah. And then the other uncle's like Kamsa. You know? Like that. Yeah, what? Yes. Yeah, where's good wrestlers when you need them, right?
Yeah.
You know, like that. So. Yes? Is that clear? So that's why they're like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not having any problem. They set the example for those of us who do have problem. So that person who's having problem, in other words, they have problem, what does it do? It increases their faith, like it said before. You know, that point here is that... Actually, such devotees are always in transcendental bliss, and such apparent calamities provide a further impetus for that bliss. So if we get into calamities and we drop our bliss, in fact drop the whole faith in the process and practice of it, then we're not on that platform. Right? So then why is it there? It's because there's an anartha. There's something that the Lord's trying to wake us up to. Some attitude, some practice, some attachment, some identity. You know, something that's wrong. And so they're just... Krishna has given us symptoms earlier, but we didn't take them at that point. So then when the Mack truck comes along and, you know, we get run over, then we notice. Then it's all about the guy that's driving the Mack truck. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is it's not, mm-hmm. that's not reality. Because the point is why did it happen? Because Krishna's taking care, it's going on, everybody else is going on, and they're quite happy. So then how is it? So that way then you have to categorize all the devotees as the same. They all have to be bad, otherwise how can they function in the situation that I found was bad? So if they're functioning, then they're party to it, so then they're all bad. You know? But then if that's there, then you take the other party, because there's the suras and the asuras. So you take the asuras, and so then they're there. The karmis, they're nice. The only ones that are nice to you is because they're getting some benefit by being nice to you. Otherwise, they're not nice to you. And the devotees, they should be nice to you, but because they don't see any material benefit, they're not necessarily nice to you. That's just due to impersonalism. Right? Does that make sense? Which the person who's saying they're all the same has the same disease. Otherwise, why would he make them all the same? That means he's not a personal person. He's an impersonalist. Therefore, he can't distinguish. And he thinks the karmis are better. Why? Because they deal with him the way he wants to be dealt with. So it's all about himself. So what's the glory in that? Due to impersonalism, you can't associate with devotees, and you like associating with karmis because they're nice to you, which is what you want, because that makes you feel like you're the center of activity. But as soon as they don't see a benefit for themselves in dealing with you, they will give up that dealing with you nicely. You know what I'm saying? Why? Well, it means, was Duryodhana a devotee? So he wasn't a devotee. Was he a family member? Right? And in the families, do families not do things together? Like you have family business, do they not work together? And in India, other than Duryodhana, that's the one rare example, there have been no examples in the past or in the contemporary time or even at present where anyone in the family has ever somehow or another cheated you out of, you know, your due, right? It just absolutely doesn't happen, right? The karmis are so fabulous, right? No manager's ever dealt with anyone badly, no boss, no co-worker, no other family member, no, you know, person on the street. They're all so cordial and fabulous, you know, especially if they're on the western side of India where neither can they speak Hindi nor can they speak English. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just due to impersonalism and attachment. You know, I want to control, I want to enjoy. So that's the only way you come to that. That's how they've come to that position. But the point is the soul is still Krishna's servant. So every soul has the nature to serve Krishna. Right? Therefore, then we deal properly in etiquette, which is how we're supposed to deal. It's never that we have an opportunity. We don't have to follow etiquette because they're wrong. Mm-hmm. Etiquette is etiquette. They're wrong, then, you know, you have the saying, two wrongs don't make a right. Yeah. Yes. That's coming up next. Like that. Because we're just giving an intro so that we appreciate. Because we've heard six systems, but we have to understand is that faith means you apply. How do you know they have faith? That the degree they apply the six symptoms of surrender. Right? Yes.
You make that point many times. It is a nice example of how we think we're being good men, but we're actually being very narrow by making that distinction. This is so before they can never regain the spiritual castigation.
Yes. Yes. It's very narrow. Because it's when we want, see, it's like this. If I can behave badly, then is that not one of the, how you say, is that not one of the simple pleasures of the material world? Right? You behave badly and everybody complains, then that's a problem. You want to behave badly. You behave badly because you behave badly. It's the nature. But if you have a reason to behave badly, and everybody can behave badly, right? You know, you find yourself in, you know, an ogre or something, or, you know, Frankenstein. Then all the locals can get out their pitchforks and their torches and go run after them, and, you know, like that. You know, they can feel good about harassing. People in the material world want to harass. So here's an opportunity. I can harass, and, you know, it's just and all that. So that's the whole point. It's not about justice. It's about I get the opportunity to harass. Because if we literally looked at justice, we would look at everything. But we only look at that part I want to look at. Because when you speak and you try to explain it, they will always reinterpret the words to make it look unjust. They're not looking to actually come to a proper understanding. Because a proper understanding is no fun. Otherwise, what do you do with torches and pitchforks? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is they want that taste. They want to feel, yes, I'm doing this, and this is right, because it gets the bile moving. But it's a material taste. It's not a spiritual taste. Spiritual taste would be, you know, when we have a different flavor. You know, it wouldn't be destructive. Does that make sense? Okay, so stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur.